Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause, and next to me, I don't recognize the guy because he's got a fresh face and smells of aftershave and shaven lotions. It's Bob Macko. Hey, Bob.
What Matt's getting to is that I shaved my mustache.
Mm-hmm. Mustache, everything.
Everything. That's true. I am totally clean shaven now.
Yep.
And I'll put a picture of it up on Instagram because I know everybody's dying to see how I look.
Yep.
Here's the trade-off, Matt.
Yeah.
More face, mm-hmm. That's bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But less gray hair.
That's good.
So I look younger.
Yeah.
And like most things in life, you kind of just... It just hope is for about. Yeah, it just is what it is.
Yeah, in the end, you hope to barely win on the ledger.
Once again, my wife, she likes it.
Good.
My daughter... The official word, according to her Rotten Tomatoes score,
yeah,
you look terrible, Dad. You look terrible.
But she's a kid, you know. Give her a day, and you know, emotions and things change, and maybe then she'll like it.
Yeah, just shut her up with some gummy bears.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Exactly. It's a lot easier to shut up your daughter with gummy bears than your wife with gummy bears.
Is it so?
I think so.
I don't know. Sandra's pretty pliable with gummy bears. I don't know.
I've never been much of a gummy guy. I've always been more of a chocolate guy.
Yeah, that's true. I used to, like, when I still bought her presents, mm-hmm. I used to come home and say, hey, I got you something. Her first question always,
yeah,
can I eat it?
That's funny.
Yeah. Hey, before we get to the Raptors, and there's a million questions I want to ask you, because I'm not envious of anything you're doing with mm-hmm. your life right now.
Okay.
Except for one thing. Uh-huh. You cover the Raptors, and so you're in the arena for the home games, which is wicked cool.
May I try to present to you a second thing that you would be jealous of?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and this might be like pure douche. Like I'm talking
it
like
might be okay.
Well, what I'm going to say is like a ground zero of debaggery. So I had to have a discussion with the person who's arranging my trip to Spain, mm-hmm. which I'm leaving on Friday, and the debate was. Is four wineries too many for one day? So we were debating, you know, will that be too much winery for the small wine group in one day? And I told her, I'm like, nope, four is good, but you can't go more than that.
Okay, so I do want to make a point about something.
Yeah.
I've learned to find forgiveness in my heart for something I never uh-huh. respected before.
Yeah.
Let's put a pin in it.
Okay.
Come back to it.
Okay.
So how do you know how many wineries are too many for one day?
Because I've done plenty of tours, both professionally and just, you know, with friends and stuff. And I find that you start rushing, you know, to get to the fourth one. And all these places we will also be presented with, we'll be taking a private exclusive tour. There will be food. I would imagine a wide range of cheeses, meats, hopefully shellfish, works well with the wine area. So you're going to get rushed. Like you're going to be at the first one at 9:30. Plus there's lunch in the middle. You know, by the end of the day, you're like, oh, I need a break before dinner.
So I'm going to say something, and on the surface, it's not going to seem positive.
Okay.
Because it isn't.
Okay.
You love to be pampered.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people who like to be pampered as much as you like to be pampered.
Yeah.
At any point, do you sit back and say, maybe I should toughen up a bit here?
No.
Maybe I need to harden my shell a little towards life's vicissitudes.
No. I was watching The Avengers last night. I thought about some of the tough issues that's going to happen in this world.
So you're not afraid to stare life right in the face. You've seen The Avengers.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
To answer your question, Bob, I do on the first end. I think I'm tough enough. Could I be tougher? Absolutely. Will I be?
Do you play a heavy game, Matt? Are you playing a heavy game in life?
Well, I am going to be bringing...
Are you strong on your stick?
I'm going to be bringing all my equipment. I'm going to be writing articles for it. You know, and also, unlike I think other people on the tour...
Do you get calluses on your hands when you do all that typing?
No.
Or do you like wear gloves at night with like the lotion in them?
The lotion in them, yeah. And just makes that weird squishy sound when you put your fingers into the glove.
I don't know how it sounds.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because I don't do that.
See this hand?
Uh-huh.
Smooth, Bob.
It is smooth. If I may do a quint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come here, Hooper.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the hands.
Yeah.
Ah, you got city hands. You've been counting money all your life.
Ah, except for, you know what? Perfect example. But what was Hooper good at? He could tie all the knots. It's true. Could do all the things. He could tie all the knots.
Sort of.
He was the one who said, "Take, you know, put me in that cage and send me down that water." That's me.
You got a better idea. One of the best cuts in that movie, and then they cut to the cage going up.
Yeah,
it's a brilliant cut.
So good.
So yes. Okay. So yeah, I think it's fantastic. Actually, I owe you a great debt of thanks. Mm-hmm. I told you I want to start experimenting with wine.
Yeah,
and I tried one from New Zealand.
Yeah,
a white from the Marlborough region.
Okay, nice. And you liked it?
I liked it very much.
Nice.
It had notes of tasty with undertones of delicious.
I imagine you probably had a Sauvignon Blanc, so that's going to be.
I did.
A, yeah, full very aromatic,
very very smelly.
Yeah, a lot of citrus. Maybe
I sniffed it good.
Yeah. Good. And you liked it.
I did like it.
Nice.
Yeah. I kind of realized I almost like the taste more than the buzz. I know that sounds weird and
counterproductive. The taste is way better than the buzz.
Yeah, because I find the buzz just gets in the way. Like the first little bloom of the buzz.
It's great.
Is pretty great.
Yeah.
But pretty soon it just gets in the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've often said this. If there was a way to where after the first tiny buzz, it would stop. And no matter how much more wine you consumed, it would never leave that one little buzz. That'd be perfect.
You're right. It's like when I haven't smoked dope in a long time, but when I used to smoke dope, what I remembered was the first being a little stoned part was kind of awesome and hilarious.
Yeah.
And then later when you're drooling in the corner and like trying to like interpret Beatles records backwards, like that part's not so fun.
Not so much fun.
You know, it would be nice if you just like popcorn tasted better.
Yeah. And that's it.
And the movie was 8% funnier. Like that would be fine.
Yeah. And just like, and then that hit the ceiling. You know, it's so true. It's like, I never drank wine to get drunk. I drank wine because I wanted to taste it, enjoy it and all that. And a little buzz is good because all humans, we all like getting altered and we all have our own path to getting altered. And for me, just wine, that's my drug of choice.
So let's talk Raptors.
Sure.
As I mentioned previously, I should be more jealous of you than I am.
Yeah.
Because your life's pretty freaking amazing.
You know what? You got an amazing wife, amazing daughter. Family is healthy and close by. You got a lovely home in an area that's just getting more and more expensive. You know, you've accomplished a lot of great things. You can look at your father with pride and your mother as well. You might not be as good as me, Bob, but you're very close.
That's well said. That's well said.
With a smug landing. You might not be.
You stuck the landing into a pile of smarts.
I'm Mary Lou Retton.
All right, Mary Lou.
Yeah.
What I was going to say, though, is you've been at the games because you're covering them for 1050.
Yeah.
What was the vibe when they lost last night? And here's why I ask.
Yeah.
Some losses, you go, you know what? What are you going to do? Other ones, they kind of, you can feel in the room, it's sort of like, did we just watch something that portends an ugly future?
Yeah.
What was the vibe when they lost last night?
Game was on the Fan 590, so I wasn't there last night.
Oh, you weren't?
No, I was at the...
Oh, I'm sorry. I went this to, big deal out of
no, it. No, I went to the Avengers, but and I won't give any spoilers, but we will be talking about Game of Thrones. But I can tell you my vibe, which was door number one.
No big deal?
Yeah, I mean... Every loss in the playoffs is a big deal. Losing at home, it's a big deal. But you go back and look at the end of the game. Danny Green had two wide open chances.
Wide open.
To tie the game. You looked at the game early. How did they get down? Danny Green, Gasol, I'm trying to remember the third guy, all started at 0 for 3. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, that's my only concern is they dared Gasol and Ibaka and Danny Green to hit their shots.
It was smart by Brent Brown.
It was. Yeah. Brett, it's like, if we're going to get beat.
Brett. God, I always get this crossed up.
I know. So do I. Brett Brown.
Brownie.
Yeah. Yeah. Double B.
So I loved, like, for them.
Yeah.
Like the adjustment to just say, okay, Gasol, hit shots.
Yeah.
Hit shots. And you know he doesn't want to take them. And it's been kind of framed as he's playing team ball.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, you know, team first, not me first. But sometimes part of that is if you have an open shot and you have a defensive mismatch, which is in your favor, you have to exploit it.
Yeah.
The great thing, the brilliant thing about basketball, why it is so fun to watch the deeper into the game you get is because it's all about exploiting mismatches.
Mm-hmm.
It's about figuring out weaknesses and trying to maximize them because you walk or run the ball up court. But the point is, it's so head on. Unlike hockey, where it's a game of transition, it's much more difficult to be disciplined. I mean, obviously, you can be disciplined in hockey, but it's just not the same thing.
No,
it's not. You don't play sets the same way.
Yeah.
It's all about the mismatches. And I thought that Nick Nurse yesterday stunk. I thought he stunk. And here's why I am nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, and we'll dissect it. But what I saw yesterday was that Nick Nurse will give away at least one game a series.
Well, Brett,
with bad decision
making. Ask anyone in Philly, they'll say the same thing about Double B.
Double B. That's probably true, and yeah. maybe that's going to hold them back. But as they've gone further, I like Philly's a good team.
Yeah, they're Philly, a very good team.
You know, and their starters are terrific.
Yeah.
And they had Joel Embiid sick at home,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't win.
Yeah.
So even though it was close, I still look at that and think, if they lose this series, we're going to look at game two and say, they blew the opportunity. It should have gone back to Philly at 2-0.
Yes, if they do lose, we will look back like that. Man, they were missing so many like open shots early on. And you're right about Gasol, because you can hide behind good team player, but there is I always notice a little hesitancy for him to shoot when he's wide open. It's almost like, okay, here we. It's like he's on the polar bear club, but he's the guy who doesn't really want to jump in the water, but will at the last moment because everyone else is doing it.
That's like a shockingly great analogy.
You know, well, it's not shocking. I'm a smart fella. Like that's Marc Gasol, where he's got it. It's like, go shoot. He's like, okay, and then you know, and reluctantly does it. I'm not at like, even if they lose game three. I'm not gonna be worried just because what I've seen from this team this year, what I've seen from Kawhi Leonard. Like Kawhi Leonard can win you two games on his own. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't have concern. I mean, the offense, the rhythm stunk, and you know, there was no flow to it. And also Pascal Siakam cannot take more shots than Kawhi Leonard. And I love Pascal Siakam. This guy is a star. Or at the very least he's star light. But when they lost game one to Orlando, I believe in that game also Pascal Siakam had more shots than Kawhi Leonard.
The Pascal thing is interesting because he finished with 21 points.
Yeah, 25 shots.
But that's the thing. He had to work really, yeah. really, really hard to get those 21 points. And I see that as a plus and a minus. It's a plus in the sense that it wasn't a stiff of a game.
No.
But it's a minus in the sense that they went in and said, we're not going to let him have easy buckets. And they put a big man on him.
They put Embiid, yeah.
And that was really smart.
Mm-hmm.
And... Frig, again, like Nick Nurse just not adjusting, like a brick wall. Hello, McFly.
Yeah, it could be worse. Could have had Babcock.
You know, I thought about this yesterday, about how the two coaches, can you imagine at the end of the game, Nick Nurse coming out and saying, yeah, Masai didn't get me the pieces I need.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think so.
We'll discuss Babcock in a moment.
Sure, we'll get to the Leafs. Lots of Leafs, good, juicy stuff to get to.
Yeah.
In your opinion... what would you like to see differently when they go to Philadelphia? They won one, they lost one. They blew them out, and they lost a close one. If you're Nick Nurse, if you're the Raptors, how do you adjust going into Philly?
First off, you don't go for hero ball early on. Don't go, you know, don't do ISOs. A lot of good, crisp ball movement. You know, smart ball movement. That's the first thing. The second is you have to recognize if Kawhi Leonard, and this is the only type of hero I want to see, if Kawhi Leonard is ever in a good position, just make sure he has the ball. Even if he doesn't shoot, make sure he has the ball so that defenses will collapse on him. That's all. Like, just try not to think too much of game two. And remember, in game one, they scored 39 points in the first quarter. If you take the offense from game one and take the offense from game two and you get the middle of that, the Raptors should be fine.
I agree. The one good thing about last night was that defensively, they were still really solid.
Oh, yeah.
Their individual defense and their team schemes, it was really solid. Here's the one thing that worries me. Well, yeah. I've thrown out the one thing that worries me about eight times. So yeah. I suppose many things worry me. Joel Embiid was sick last night.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler totally stepped up, and we've seen mm-hmm. him do this, and he's a great player.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
Yeah.
He's not elite, but mm-hmm. he's that level just below it.
Yeah.
And he's also a nut, and he's the kind of guy who would take losing personally. He's playing for a max contract. Mm-hmm. You knew he was going to have a big game. Here's what worries me. Joel Embiid is MVP caliber.
Yes.
Legitimate MVP caliber. He was sick last night. This is the story. He had gastroenteritis, something.
He had the flu.
Right.
Yeah.
His bum was sore.
Yeah.
The belly and bum were sore. People have been kind of dissing him for the first two games. you know he's going to come back and he's going to want to put up 40.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. By the way.
Like, I don't think we've seen the best of him yet.
And you know what? If I could be okay with that. If he puts up 40, but it's not within the flow of the offense, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. What you know what I'd love to see?
That's a good point.
I want to see in game three. Hmm. I want to see Joel Embiid. Because he'll be great early on. They love him there. I want to see him hit a three. And I want the crowd to go nuts. And I want them to serenade him with love. And I want Nick Nurse to call a timeout. And be like, oh, no. And then I want Embiid to go, oh, this feels good. I'm going to do this over and over again. Because in that version, I feel pretty good about the Raptors' chances.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
Seduce him with the crowd. The yeah. siren song of the crowd.
Yeah. Just, you know, hit that first one. And you're right, by the way, you are right to be afraid of Joel Embiid. He's the best big man in the league. He had an incredible year. And you can't.
Top seven or eight player in the league.
Oh, yeah. And the Raptors are, you know, did such a good job on the first two games. You're right. I expect him to do more. But I also expect the Raptors to not shoot 29%. You know, like in the first half.
So this is a pretty simple thing.
Yeah.
Already you can see Raptors Twitter is calling for this everywhere. If you're Nick Nurse and you know that Marc Gasol was brought in
yeah.
as your solution to Joel Embiid, and he's mm-hmm. almost uniquely qualified in the league to deal with this guy
yeah.
who has such an incredible skill set as Embiid does. Why is it when Embiid's out there, Nurse says, I got an idea. Let's go with the short guy
mm-hmm.
from Congo
yeah.
and put Ibaka on him. Oh, he got shredded. How did that happen, according to the last 20 times this has happened? This is why I'm saying Nurse is an idiot. And I don't know why, but it's like sometimes he's super smart.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's like he loses his mind and forgets how to coach. Do you think he loses his composure?
Yeah, I do. I do think he does. And here's, you know, a great example. San Antonio and Denver, you know, there was like 25 seconds left in the game and Popovich is freaking out and no one is fouling, you know, any members of the Nuggets. And after he's like, Pop, what are you doing? And players, what are you doing? Like they all, smart team, they all collectively just did the wrong thing and they lost their composure. If Pop can do it, Nick Nurse can do it. And absolutely he did.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like when you see Jody Meeks out there.
Yeah.
And he gets like it's like he's paper put into the paper shredder.
Yeah.
For the 90 seconds or 120 seconds he was out there, you have to what were you thinking?
Oh yeah, the dam breaks when Jody Meeks is on the floor.
Okay. And I apologize for calling Nick Nurse an idiot because
a fan. The game was last night.
You're right, and I still feel pretty burnt about it.
The wound is fresh.
You're right, and I watched it this morning, so it's super fresh.
Oh, God.
Because you and I are doing this at 8 in the morning because you yeah. have stuff to do today.
Yeah.
So we're meeting at 8 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
which meant I was up at 5 a.m. to yeah. watch the game.
Yeah.
So I'm mad.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you do about the bench, Matt? Or is it just simply like hold your nose hold and on. Try to get through it?
That's it. You know, the only thing you hope for is that OG Anunoby can come back. Because we're now at the 2 week or a little over 2 week period since the appendicitis. So you hope that he can come back and provide something. They have an extra day off. They're off till Thursday. And there's really not much you can do, you know. Like, I think Norm Powell and Van Vliet, we've seen Powell late in that Orlando series have a bunch of good games. You need playoff Norm again. You need Van Vliet to hit some of his shots. And you need Ibaka. I don't know. It's funny. Even when Ibaka plays well, I'm still nervous. You know, like Ibaka is just a guy I just don't trust. I just, even after a good game, I just don't trust Ibaka.
Ibaka's weird in that from play to play, you don't know who's on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like he'll do something amazing.
Yeah.
A shot block or a nice little, you know, post move.
Yeah.
Hit a three, something.
Yeah.
And literally two possessions later, he will look awful.
Yeah.
It is so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I do know this though. He is way better when Lowry's on the floor.
Oh, God, yeah.
Everybody is better when Lowry's on the floor.
Yep.
Nurse has to figure that out.
Yep.
He's got to figure it out. Fred VanVleet is going to kill this team offensively.
Yeah, he is. Oh, 100%. Like, it's funny. Everyone.
26-5, Matt.
Yep.
The bench outscored. Philly's bench outscored the Raptors 26-5.
Yeah.
5, Matt. 5 points in a 48-minute
yep.
game.
Yep.
5.
And now I'm going to, like, we're playing a game of tennis because I watched the game last night. I watched the last quarter after I got home from the Avengers. I watched that part. So I come in today with a little more zen. In game one, which the Raptors blew out Philly, the bench for the Raptors didn't get their first points until I think midway to late in the third quarter, and they still blew them out. All you need from the bench is not even as much scoring. It's just go full Hodor. Just all you got to do is hold the door. Like, you know, the claws from the door. There's Jimmy Butler. There's Ben Simmons. There's Embiid. There's J.J. Redick. They're going to start scratching at you. Just hold the door. Give Kawhi and Lowry some rest. Siakam's out there because he basically plays 48 minutes. And you'll be okay.
Hang on a second, Matt.
Yeah, yeah. Hey!
The best name for Fred VanVleet I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Hodor.
Hodor. Just
hold the door.
Yeah, that's all we need from
that. That is so good.
Yeah.
And that's it. Just keep Bran safe. And I suppose Bran in this is Kawhi, right?
No. People can see my eye roll. I get why you're saying it, but how could Kawhi be Bran?
Bran, he's Jon Snow.
Bran hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
Bran's done nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Let's save that because we're going to go down the Game of Thrones rabbit hole in a minute. And I do want to wrap up some Raptor stuff.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about Jack Armstrong and how amazing he is?
He's the best.
You know, he brings me so much joy.
Yeah.
I'm at the point now where I'm just excited to listen to Jack talk.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel that way about nobody else in Toronto media with the exception of Dan Schulman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, just Jack is, it's the perfect combination of just, you know, analysis and fun. Like, you know, sports is fun. Hey, imagine that. And absolutely. And he'll get on the Raptors. I mean, he still has enough Homer in him where, you know, some calls, you know, it's like, you know, like when you love your kid and, you know, oh, my kid just tripped that kid. It's very competitive. Got to do what you got to do. but no, Jack's awesome. And like now there's like T-shirts with him and it's got the king on it. And there's like a crown or something. It's great.
Get that garbage out of here.
Yeah.
So here's my fear.
Yep.
Amongst my many, many fears.
Yeah.
Which I like to preface by saying, here's the one thing I'm worried about.
Yeah.
I could see us easily losing game three just because of the lift that Philly gets from being home.
Yep.
And I would expect by then Embiid is feeling better. And you know he's going to have at least one 40-20 kind of game.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He's going to obliterate the Raptors at some point.
He's going to get 10 offensive rebounds.
They won't be able to Hodor on that one.
Oh, no. No. He's breaking through.
Which means that game four becomes critical.
Yeah.
In this nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm.
How will this team react to facing a game that they have to win?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know.
We'll see.
We will.
We'll see.
God. And
I think they'll be okay.
Yeah. I know. I always thought this series minimum was going six.
Yeah, probably seven. I got the Raps in seven.
Yeah, I had the Raps in seven as well. And I feel a lot more confident about that than I did about my Leafs pick. You know, it's good. Like for me, the amount of data I'm gonna expend, like trying to follow the game on Twitter. And let's see, I'm going to be like 5 hours ahead.
Oh, because you're going to be in Spain.
I'll get to watch game three because that's on Thursday. I leave Friday afternoon. But I'm going to miss the other games.
What's the time difference? Is it 6 hours?
It's got to be, I'd say five
to six.
I think
it's six.
It could be, if it's six, then I'm going to be waking up in the morning and checking TSN.
Why don't you just get NBA.com. Like, yep. Just get the package, and then you can watch it whenever you want.
Yeah, but I'm going to be drunk. Or I'm going to be...
I like doing just cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna be,
or I'm going to be like full. Or I'm going to be just like knee deep in shellfish because it's 6 hours ahead, 10 o'clock at night there. It, like in Toronto, that's 4 a.m. I'm going to be in bed. I'm 43. I'm going to be in bed at, you know, like I like to think, oh, yes, I'm out all night at the discotheque in Spain. No, that's not going to happen. I'm going to be asleep.
All right. We've talked Raptors enough. Now we got to talk about your Spain trip.
Yeah.
So, you're not a young guy anymore.
No.
Right? You're not an old guy. No. You're in the mushy middle.
Yeah.
But
middle. If only there was a name for
a man in
for an age somewhere in the middle.
Middle, yeah.
We'll work on that. We'll spitball some ideas.
So how many nights or how many long days can you have before you have to take a break? Like the Raptors get three games, 3 days between games now.
Yeah.
So you go to four wineries in one day.
Yeah.
And then the next day you go to four wineries.
Yeah.
Can you show up on the third day and keep going? Or is it that point, is it just a drag?
It can be, but in all honesty, jokes aside, this is where the responsibility comes in. I will be actually doing tons of spitting, and I'll always have a giant water ball with me. Like, we love the idea of, I'm going to start early and just get drunk all the time, but I'll be miserable because there's like, well, I'm getting paid to go on this trip. My hotel and flight is covered. So, I do remember, know that there is a level of professionalism, you know, that is required, you know, at most. You know, near the end of the day, that nice buzz we talked about, that'd be fantastic.
With the exception of stripper, are there any other jobs where you're expected to be drunk?
Ooh, I'm going to go rodeo clown. You know, it's like, so what do? I hang in a barrel. And then what? I distract a bull. Why? So the bull doesn't kill another human. And what's your protection? Clown makeup. So that's, I think that job, I think would...
Little liquid courage?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you heard like in World War I, all the soldiers were drunk. Like the Germans literally would be plying. And again, it'd be 19 to 22-year-old, even younger, Germans on schnapps in trenches. And it's funny to say that line, but like drunk all the time.
I was thinking about that during Game of Thrones, which I guess we can discuss now.
Yeah.
So are we putting the Raptors to bed?
We're putting the Raptors to bed. We can put Spain to bed. The only thing I would not put to bed is bad legal advice or legal advice at all. Legal advice of any sort. You don't want to sleep on it, Bob, okay? Because if you sleep on, you know, not having your law stuff intact, you know what you're going to have? Nightmares. So that's why you go to Jeff Pollock. He is Bob and I's. He's our lawyer. And if you need a lawyer, I'm going to tell you right now, he's like Celino and Barnes, except for really good and talented without the tacky commercials. 416-777-0088 is his number. 416-777-0088. If you need to get a hold of him, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. jeffpollock.com. Litigation, states, trust, corporate, commercial, real estate. He'll do your will. Everything in between. He's our lawyer. If you need a lawyer, seriously, like just... go get Jeff Pollock, and you might become friends with him, and he might even invite you over for a wine event, and they're wonderful.
He looks good in a kilt, too.
Yeah, he does.
Not a lot of people can rock the kilt.
Yeah.
Look like they're trying too hard, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Jeff can effortlessly kilt it.
Yes. Yeah, I feel, yeah.
Oh, this is actually a good segue. I can take the pin back out of my note now.
Okay.
So I'm walking over here today, and I wanted to throw this out to you.
Yeah.
Because ordinarily, I saw something which I ordinarily... do not like.
Okay.
I categorically disapprove.
Yeah.
But today I kind of liked it.
Oh, what was that?
Sweater on a dog. What are your thoughts about sweater on a dog?
Narcissism is my first thought, because I find that dog owners try to think that their dogs have actually real personality or emotion.
Anthropomorphize them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when the dog is looking up at you, it's like, oh, he knows I'm home. Now, you know, there might be some reaction where he knows your smell and stuff, but 2 seconds later, he's thinking of eating poop. You know,
maybe chasing a squirrel.
Chase a squirrel, eating vomit, you know, dog things.
Right.
So,
doing what we would all do.
Yeah.
We could curl over that far.
Exactly. So, I think the dog sweater is just, that's for you. It's not for the dog, it's for you.
So, you and I are 100% in sync with this.
Yeah.
Ordinarily, I think the dog's not a kid. Stop pretending the dog's a kid.
Yeah.
That said, though, this woman was walking her dog right across the street, like Front Street, over by your place, over by the Y.
Yeah.
And three people were walking the opposite direction towards us. I was walking with the woman towards your place. Three people walking opposite direction towards us. And they all looked at the dog and smiled.
Yeah.
And they all looked so happy.
Yeah.
The way only dogs can make you happy.
Yeah.
Cats
yeah.
don't make you happy like that.
Mm-hmm.
Parakeets don't make you happy like that.
They
even,
don't.
Even when they talk.
Yeah.
Which they can do.
Which they can do.
Kind of weird when you think about it.
It really is. Birds are horrible.
You know, like, I don't know that we're making enough about the fact that some birds can talk. But anyway, we'll come to that another day.
Hot bird talk.
Yeah.
That's a tease.
And everybody smiled. And I thought, you know, maybe I should lighten up a bit and stop being so judgmental and just allow a happy moment to blossom in its own way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But
sweater on a dog, Matt. That's my new thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a picture of a wiener dog with a long sweater on it. And I'm going to put it up on my computer screen. And every time I say to myself, this world stinks, which it does, I'm going to look at the wiener dog in a sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It it's it can be both. It is. It's super cute. But it's narcissistic. It's just people's relations to their dogs and stuff. I mean, I love dogs, but yeah, let's pump the brakes a little bit.
So just so I don't sound like I've changed too much.
Yeah.
The woman did commit a sweatshirt infraction though. Mm. She was wearing a sweatshirt that had an inspirational message written in glitter on it.
God.
Love.
Yeah.
Oh. Love.
I find that, I think there's an inverse relationship. The more of those inspirational moment things you have in your life, the less you actually do them,
mm-hmm.
you know,
well, like, because it feels like you've checked a box.
It's like, well, I've done that. You know, it's like the idea of slacktivism where it's like, oh, I hit retweet on AOC's tweet. I've done my part for the day. Take that, corporate leader, corporate man.
Tweets are not enough, Maddie. Tweets are not enough.
Ooh, that could be like a, like a, that could be like a song with all the celebrities. Because tweets are not enough, you know, like they're all, there's Cyndi Lauper and Bruce Springsteen and, you know, they're sharing the mic together.
You can make a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
If you get off your ass and actually do something. Get all up. Sweatshirts should say one thing and one thing only.
Yeah.
Motorhead.
Or what you looking at?
that's like my mother designed stuff.
Yeah.
It would just say, what?
What?
With a big question mark and an exclamation point. What? My mom's advice is the greatest advice of all time, according to Jeff Merrick, who knows nothing about hockey.
Nope.
Shut up, sit down, have a sandwich.
It's great advice. It's very Warren Zevon-y, you know. Very,
enjoy every sandwich.
Yeah. And by the way, Jeff Merrick, 31 things he doesn't know about hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
How does that guy...
I don't know.
How does he sleep at night?
I know. Exactly.
Okay, so... We were talking about the all the soldiers being drunk during the Second World War.
Yep.
It reminded me of Tyrion when he heard the dead running around upstairs.
Oh, so good.
And he just takes a long haul from his wineskin.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, everyone...
I thought of you in that moment, actually.
Oh, I'd totally be doing that. To everyone listening, at this moment, just know this. There will be spoilers. If you want to skip ahead for 15 minutes or so when we I start making fun of Mike Babcock and Austin Matthews being 35th in ice time among forwards in the playoffs, awesome, you could skip ahead. The poor Dothraki.
They didn't stand a chance.
They just got it. I mean, you know, if ever there's racial profiling in Winterfell, it's on that group. It's like, yeah. Let them go first.
And the thing was, it came off of maybe the single greatest small touch. Well, not that small, but the witch, what's her name again? Melisandre. When she gets them to raise their swords,
yes.
And they all light on fire.
Oh, my God.
Oh, was that ever good.
And it was, that was scary when the POV from the soldiers that were staying back, and they see all the flames, and then the flames start to go away. And what it reminded me of was if I'm standing on my dock at night in July and I look over the lake, there's lights everywhere. But then if I'm there, like, because I like to close the cottage as late as possible. I like to be the last one there. And I'm standing there in like mid to late October and I'm looking at the same, you know, same piece of land and it's all dark because everyone's gone and the cottage are closed. And it's creepy when it's all dark. Oh my God, was that, that was a really great touch.
You really are a man of the people.
I am.
You really are.
When I'm standing
when I'm standing on my dock looking out from my island at all the cottages and the lights dotting the lake.
Yes. Yeah, I'm relatable, Bob.
You are.
Hey, 9 to 5.
Buck a beer. Hey. That's my new name for you, Maddie. Yeah. You're Buck a Beer Maddie Cause.
By the way, I will give a shout out. One of them that did it, Old Tomorrow, or not Old Tomorrow, Cool Beer. They actually make really good product, and they've donated to my girlfriend's charity. So
cool.
They're aces. But that. Yeah,
all right,
that was
so let's go back to it. I suppose the obvious place to start was, did you like it? Because this was the landing spot for so many storylines.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. It was fun. It was entertaining. Also, the final, like the Arya, you know, and we'll get there, but good on her. I mean, that was great. I loved, one of the things I loved the most was Sansa and Tyrion. You know, when they realize that they actually do have sort of a mutual connection. Like, I love that moment.
In the crypt.
I love the moment before it. I forget everyone's names. Daenerys's main female.
Daenerys,
exactly. Daenerys's main female friend. Her, you know, the one who's in love with Grey Worm.
Missandei.
Thank you. When Missandei is listening to them sort of talking bad about Dany, and she's like, yeah, we'd all be dead without her. And I'm like, oh, put a pin in that.
We'll be coming back to that.
That conversation between Sansa and Tyrion. Uh-oh. Like, mm-hmm. they set that up really well. I needed a big epic battle. I got my big epic battle.
So, I thought it was shit.
I knew you would.
And I thought it was shit for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I knew you would.
There were little touches in it that were good.
Uh-huh.
There were a lot of things stylistically that were interesting choices. And, you know, work or not, you got to respect interesting choices. But it could never have worked for a basic reason.
Mm-hmm.
The Night King was never the big bad. So for everybody who thought this was going to be a big payoff between the living and the dead, there were so many things that were unresolved going into it and so many things that are left unresolved coming out of it. Really all it was a gigantic porn
mm-hmm.
of fighting.
Yeah.
Like it had all the context of porn. And I think that I was thinking about the Lord of the Rings. I was thinking about how there's the epic apocalyptic battle and there's a cast of thousands.
Yeah.
But at the heart of it is the story of two guys just trying to throw the ring into the volcano. Yeah, into
Mordor.
Right.
Yeah.
And why that works, because with all the craziness, there is that one character that I followed all the way through who is just trying to complete one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this episode was lacking for me. It really went to show, like, to me, this was like trying to win by committee. It was bullpen by committee. There were 50 stories, and in the end, none of them mattered in particular. Like, you could have plucked anything out of a hat and said, and here's how it's going to resolve. There was no necessary resolution. No one was finishing their task. And that's why it was unsatisfying. Like, Arya, spoiler, jumps out of nowhere and kills the Night King.
Yeah.
Why her?
Well, because you saw, like, there was certainly a lot of clues leading up to it.
Yeah.
You know, like the fight technique she used. You saw it earlier when she was fighting with Brienne.
Yeah, a minor callback. Mm-hmm. But when you think about 8 seasons of payoff,
yep.
like, there was nothing that said this was Arya's job to finish.
Ah. And war is, here's my answer to that. War is chaos. That episode was pure chaos.
True, so, and I liked that.
Actually. They were and I was fine with the lighting. It was dark, and you were trying to see what was going on. I was fine with all of that.
That's the stylistic choice I was referring to.
Yeah.
I didn't always enjoy it, mm-hmm. but I liked that they tried something.
Yeah, and they stuck with it. Also, in Game of Thrones, you don't know who's going to die. You don't know who's going to kill him. It's kind of been one of the themes of the show. And so you don't know what's going to happen in the Night King, but you feel something is, and then boom. And you're right. I mean, there wasn't a pure lead up that it was going to be Arya killing the Night King, like your classic story, you know, just of the hero's journey. You know, you never had that. That's true. But the show is also just about, you know, you can't, don't expect expect the unexpected.
Which was the other reason why I really disliked it, because the show, and we've talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Up till now, one of the things you love about that show is nobody's safe.
Nobody's safe.
And I watched that episode and I thought everybody's safe.
Yep.
Like that, nobody who I really care about that much,
yeah.
or who's that important,
yeah.
died.
Like the
nobody.
Little...
And you would have Brienne covered in 8 whites.
Yeah.
And someone would just come on and say, oh, get off of her. And yeah. it was stupid. It was cliche.
That...
And I was embarrassed to see them cater to that, like, Stallone, Schwarzenegger-esque kind of battle logic.
That's the one spot I'll agree with you. I really enjoyed the episode. If I was going to just do my criticism, though, the death of the little girl, you know, the one of the lead, the
Leanne
girl,
of Mormont.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so good with the names. Her death was really well done. You're like, oh, and then Theon's death was really nice. And it was really well done. But I agree with you. There needed more blood needed to be spilled.
So Lyanna Mormont's moment was a fan service moment
mm-hmm.
where, and that's fine. You can have some of those and that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to be an artiste about everything.
Yeah.
But the whole Theon thing was dumb. Like, think about this. The whole plan was, let's lure the Night King
mm-hmm.
out of his safe hiding
yep.
and we'll get him to the tree
because
we know he's after Bran.
Yeah.
And then we'll kill him there.
Yeah.
And here's the plan. Mm-hmm. We'll get Theon with one quiver of arrows to stand guard.
Well, I think...
If you were going to draw out the Night
King... No.
The living embodiment of death... That was a stupid plan.
Well, no. But that was the dragons were supposed... That was Jon and Dany supposed to come in and deal with it. They screwed up.
That was on them. Okay. Why weren't there, like, at least better people other than Theon?
I agree.
Like, it was... He ran out of arrows. He brought one thing of arrows to fight the Night King?
Let me ask you a question.
It was a dumb plan.
I want to ask you a question. How'd you watch the episode?
How did I watch it?
Yeah.
On my exercise ball, the way I always do, bouncing up and down.
Who was around you?
Nobody.
I wonder if this is probably, and by the way, a lot of your criticisms, I agree with. Like, they make sense. Like, they make sense on the page. I went over to my best friend's place, and it was him, me, his wife, and his wife's friend. And, you know, we ordered burritos, and we were fully into it. And we had a little game about which character would you see first. And we had like a snake-style draft. And then we had another draft, who's going to die first. And to your point, it was really low on the list because we all thought someone big was going to die. At the opening of the show, you know, we all did a shot. And we were making fun of Bran throughout. And when the fights are going on, we're all into it. And I think part of the reason why I enjoyed it more, because for me, it was more of a spectacle. I'm with a group of people. Much like with wine, a lot of time wine tastes better with food than it does on its own. It's like Italian wine. Often it needs food. With that episode, I'm not even going to disagree with you with every one of your criticisms. I'm only going to push back that I enjoyed it more. And I think part of why was my environment.
That's a really great point. And I think this is what's at the core of why I didn't like the episode. What you just said is totally legit. And a rare opportunity for you to get together with people and have some fun. But somewhere in season seven, it stopped being a brilliant show with surprising twists.
Yeah.
And it became a fan service machine where they knew who liked what. And yeah. It almost became like Netflix's algorithm.
Yeah.
We're going to give you everything you want.
Yeah.
And what I liked about Game of Thrones to this point is they didn't give me everything I wanted.
Yep.
And by not giving me everything I thought I wanted, they surprised me. Mm-hmm. And that's what earned my loyalty.
Yeah.
But this to me was sort of, okay, they like all these people. Okay, they're going to live.
Yeah.
And the Night King, well, really, we just want to watch them fight Cersei. So we'll have the big battle, but we'll get out of the way. And then we won't even need to think about it because they'll go down to King's Landing and fight Cersei. You know, like there was just all these checkpoints of, well, what do people really want?
Yeah.
They did this at the end of Mad Men too. Like, there was a couple things in the resolution of Mad Men where you could see they just didn't want to make the tough choice.
You know what it is? Everyone wants to be liked. And then the more popular the show gets, you know, you probably get a little, you'll get a little seduced by that, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, Bob, but our politicians, we're in a wave of populism right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be liked. That's why it's bucket beer, drink in the park. The LCBO's open early. The LCBO's open late.
Drink in the park.
Buy booze at a supermarket. Well, that's it, everybody. We're done here.
Don't forget to shut off the lights.
Yeah, don't forget. And could someone teach the kids about alcohol? Oh.
We can't because we fired all the teachers? Oh. Okay, well, never mind.
All right, we'll put something on the back saying booze can be problematic.
Maybe no warning labels, though. Those things bum me out.
Yeah, they'll bum me out. Get rid of the inspectors as well. We don't need those guys.
I can hardly smoke anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great point, you know, Matt. And look, there's a business reason for doing this, and it's an obvious one. They went from being a great show to being a franchise.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of life left in this franchise. The show may be wrapping up, but they're starting to get into Marvel Cinematic Universe territory.
Yeah.
Where you're really only there to set up the next thing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the Avengers yet, so I can't speak to that.
And I will not give anything away. I saw it last night.
Appreciate that. Very kind.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like what happened was they don't want anybody to be bummed out. They want people to feel good about it because they want them to come back to the next series and the next series and this spinoff and that spinoff.
But the funny thing is you can just do prequels and stuff like that to really set.
But not if you're bummed.
Yeah, well.
It's a bit like the Star Wars reboot. Like in the hands of J.J. Abrams, it's exactly what you want.
Yeah.
In the hands of Rian Johnson, it's complicated and darker and I'm not getting what I want, but it's much more interesting.
The second Star Wars movie?
Yeah.
Was horrible.
Right. Of course you would think that.
No. All the Star Wars people thought the second one was horrible.
Not all of them.
It was horrible. We'll get into that another day.
Okay. But here's my thing. Like, so in the second Star Wars movie, Kylo Ren says to Rey, you don't come from anybody. You don't come from anybody. Which was a fascinating twist to suggest that, like, it wasn't some grand architecture of storytelling. It's like, you're just a normal person who just happens to be born with this gift. I loved that. I thought that was so brave. And what's the first thing J.J. Abrams does? Calls the next one names it after Skywalker. Well, we're just going to get rid of all that crap because people want, you know,
Luke Skywalker. Oh God, I hated that movie. And Luke Skywalker was a Debbie Downer. And the whole storyline, the whole plot line in space was basically stop mansplaining. I'm in charge. Like, get out of here. Oh.
So my point is, J.J. Abrams isn't necessarily wrong if the point is to make the most money, which it almost always is.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones is in the cha-ching. They're in the we want rides. We want, you know, collectibles at gas stations.
Ooh, I'm trying to think who would check collectible. I would have to buy Cersei. I take my Cersei action figure when I go into any winery. Hey, Cersei, what do you think of this wine? I agree. Let's have more of it. Glug, glug, glug.
So why Breaking Bad's still the best?
Yeah. Yeah. Can we get to Bran?
Yeah, of course.
Like, is he ever going to do anything? Like, holy. Like, I was comparing him to Kadri, just sitting on the sideline watching the carnage.
The decision to have him just fly around
and do nothing. Like, it's like, uh-oh, the White Walkers are close. Bran's doing the eye thing. Oh, he's going to get a million crows, and they're going to start killing. No, he's just flying. Just, I'm just flying with birds. And he sets it up
with the, I'm going to go now.
Yeah.
It's I thought, go somewhere?
Go somewhere? No, he's like, I'm just going for a stroll. I'm like a bird. I only fly away. I ain't going to help my family. I'm just going to step. I'm going to sit and stare creepily. I am Bran. No one likes me. Like, I wish Jamie had thrown him off a tower again. Stupid Bran. Did nothing.
It's another example of how they don't know what to do with the story, though. Now, that may change. There's three more episodes. That may change. But this was kind of his big moment.
Yeah.
And he did nothing.
But he's never had a moment. He's literally never had a moment. He's hung out with Max von Sydow. That's it.
Sydow. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it's just he's such a great actor.
I know. So good in Hannah and Her Sisters.
Like, right. You know, it's like if you called him Dustin Hoffman.
Ooh, you know, I love that guy.
At some point, you have to. You know.
He was great in Range Man.
Robert DiNiblio.
Oh, man. I love that guy in Gooderfellas.
Betterfellas?
Yeah, we could do this.
We could do this forever. Yeah, yeah. In fact, the pod kind of is doing this forever on its own. I thought My blanket comment on this was there were lots of things to like about the episode. There were lots of little moments. There were some great shots, individual shots. I thought it was sunk by the fact that some of the storytelling was a little bit hokey.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really have a central thrust. It was just people doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay to have the chaos, but there was really no...
You need structure.
You need some structure.
You need some structure. Yeah, and I agree with you. This is why I'm like, my pushback is... I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed it because of my environment. But every one of your criticisms, they all make sense.
And in the end, it felt like they had to do it because they'd set it up.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't matter. The real thing is the Cersei King's Landing fight and what happens with Jon and Dany. And that's what people really like. But I don't think people love the idea of the humans against the Night King. I don't think they love that.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, I love the idea of it. But no, who do you wish had died? I mean, Brienne of Tarth had to go.
Okay, I can only answer this. I can answer this in two ways.
Yeah.
Who died in terms of like what would have been good for the episode or who dies, what would be good for the series?
For the series.
Okay. I think that, well, probably Tyrion.
That kills the series. You need Tyrion because he still has to be involved with Cersei and Daenerys.
Daenerys. I think it's more interesting if Daenerys is isolated.
Okay.
I think she becomes much more dangerous if Jorah's gone and Tyrion's gone and all these people who are like the kind of the common sense around her, like this is really her standing alone, which means she's either going to take off on her own with all these dudes who usually help her gone or she's going to crumble. But I thought that making sure that Tyrion's still there is giving her a bit of training wheels.
Okay.
I would say Tyrion should have died. Plus, he hasn't really done much in a couple seasons.
He hasn't done as much in this one, certainly. But he's had great speeches and great lines.
He's awesome. He's probably the most liked character of them all. That's why they didn't kill him.
He's also appeared in the most episodes.
Is that right?
Yep.
Cool.
The one thing I was hoping for was that either Jaime or Brienne would have been killed by the zombie, you know, then come back to life
and fight.
And fight the other one. And maybe kill the other one, or the other one killed the zombie one. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I was sort of hoping for. Also, you know what I really wanted to see? I want to see in the middle of the fight if they had done a cutaway and suddenly you're in King's Landing and I'm going to rock down to Electric Avenue, Eddie Grant. That song is playing and there's Cersei just chugging wine and just choosing her next, buoyant boy toy, the next boy of the sea. Like I wanted one quick cutaway in all the fights. And meanwhile, in King's Landing, there's Cersei. I'm going to rock down to Electric Avenue.
She's got a bathrobe on and a towel wrapped around her hair.
And then we're going. I wanted that contrast because in the middle of it, you're like, ooh, this sucks for everyone except for one person.
She's having Cersei, the best time.
Just having a great time.
She got her
time.
Feet up and she got like the little bits of toilet paper between her toes and she's drying her nails.
Yeah,
that would be funny.
That would be good.
All right, so the series, by the way, what I described here is not necessarily like a fatal blow.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a bit of a dead end that they just needed to get through.
Yeah.
The final three episodes could still be great.
Yeah.
The point's been made many times.
Mm-hmm.
The series is at its best when it's people we love having interesting conversations in nice rooms.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and it's tough to get to those nice rooms. And sometimes when you want to get to a nice room, you want to go to Seat Giant because you want to see people having conversations. I mean, isn't that really what a concert is? It's the band having a conversation with you through song. So go to seatgiant.ca. Seriously, they're a Canadian partner on this show. We get a small cut of money every time you use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout to save money. You will get a cut off your tickets. We get a small cut. It's win-win. And the great thing is everything's in Canadian dollars. None of this confusing, American money, Canadian money, none of that. And these guys stand by the customer experience, concert tickets, all sporting events. Get your tickets, seatgiant.ca. Use the discount code Bob and Matt. And Bob, I got a question for you. When Kyle Dubas, when he was sitting there in game one watching the Raptors and the 76ers, was he confused him more? Seeing the team of success with a young head coach who was from the minors after they had booted the more experienced, established coach? Or was he more confused when he saw Kawhi Leonard playing around 38, 39 minutes and going, stars can play more minutes in the postseason. Odd.
I'm going to go with door number two on this one.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure he's comfortable with the other thought.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps not publicly.
Yeah.
But I think that, I think you have a rant you want to do here about Austin Matthews' total minutes.
That's it. 35th in 4 minutes played for a forward. He's like 22 years old. 35th. Hey, Babcock, it's not going to change. So he is.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Okay, so.
Fire Babcock.
The next conversation with the next conversation with the Leafs is what next?
Yeah.
I was thinking about something. Let's start here.
Yeah. And we got 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking about Travis Konecny.
Of course you were. Did not expect that line.
Okay.
All right.
Well, here's why.
Yeah.
He was drafted in his draft year 24th, which is where the Leafs would have chosen that year, except they chose to draft, trade down.
Yeah.
And what they got out of that draft, they got Travis Dermott and Jeremy Bracco.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Babcock has been saying there's not enough depth. Konecny is, at the time I remember thinking, he's a good player and he's fallen this far and he's someone I would expect they would want. He's, the first two seasons, 50 points each year. Plays on the wing, can play a little bit of center. He's tough. He's exactly the kind of person you could see Babcock would love to have had in that playoff series, especially with Kadri going out.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, they traded down and got Travis Dermott and Jeremy Bracco. What would you rather have right now? The dependable player that you can insert into the lineup and you know you would get something really good and could have helped them win that Boston series?
Yep.
Or a guy who's still a prospect in Travis Dermott. He may never be more than a bottom six guy. He may be more.
He's a second pairing guy.
Yeah, and if he is, then that was good.
Yeah.
But he might not be, and he definitely wasn't that good during the playoffs.
No, he had a very bad playoffs.
Coming off injury, in fairness. Yep. And Jeremy Bracco, who's good in the AHL, but we'll see.
Yeah.
What would you rather have right now?
Well, door number one.
Are you sure?
Well, something dependable that could have got past Bruins, then I want door number
one. But that would mean you wouldn't have the other two pieces.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, what would you rather have? And this is kind of where I was thinking. Let me take you here. I know you got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
This kind of speaks to where people believe the Leafs are in terms of their rebuild. If you think that they're still building, you want the two pieces.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that they're ready to go now,
yeah,
you want the guy who can be subbed in there and give you more depth and better players on the ice right now.
I think why I chose door number one is going into last night, the team with the most wins in the second round of the playoffs at 6:59 on Monday, April 29th, was Carolina. They were up 2-0 on the Islanders. So you're damn right I wish the Leafs were still there with, you know, without Dermott and Bracco. You know, just future be damned. The present is right now.
And if you're the coach, you kind of think, okay, I want the best team I can have to win. But we remember when Babcock started, he was all about there's going to be pain.
Yeah.
Right? I think if you ask Kyle Dubas, I think, he would say, yeah, this is part of the pain. In fact, he kind of alluded to it. He said, our best players are still young.
Yeah.
They're going to build up scar tissue. Mm-hmm. They're going to come back harder and better from this.
Yep.
Whereas Babcock just said, our team's not good enough.
Yeah.
We don't have enough good players.
Yep.
Who's jumping the gun in terms of the rebuild?
Oh, Babcock. 100%. Coaches always jump the gun on the rebuild because they want to win on that Wednesday night.
What do you think, though? Because a coach has an invested reason to think that. But as someone who just wants to see the team win in the end...
I think Babcock took a step back. We talk about players taking a step forward, step back. I thought Babcock took a step back. He's developed a lot of these players. He's done a lot of good things. But on ice, so many curious decisions. And so many ones where just, how about you play your first power play more?
Yeah, if you're going to load them up like the nuclear option, then give them
the
more
Bruins, ice time than the word one. Is the Bruins players were surprised that they didn't see more of the first power play unit. Surprised is code for relieved.
Right.
So Babcock helped the Bruins.
Well, especially with Kadri, which just waters down the second unit even more.
Yeah.
Because now you got Johnsson playing up, all of that. It made me think, I don't know why, it popped in my head the other day that at the time I thought I would love to have Konechny. But then the smart play is just assets. You never know what's going to happen. Even if you package them up and trade for somebody good later,
mm-hmm.
a team needs assets in order to win championships. And I hope what doesn't happen is that we forget we are still in the asset acquisition phase. We're just starting to emerge from it now. But up to this point, Kyle Dubas is building the kinds of pieces out that can turn into a championship team.
Yep.
This isn't them.
Yeah.
I feel like Babcock thinks this is them
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
And that might be the biggest disconnect between the two, is who thinks they're ready to win now.
And, you know, 20 minutes in the playoffs won't hurt as well. Bob, we got to go.
We went off on Game of Thrones.
We did. We had a lot to get to. We will be back in 2 weeks. And I hope, Bob, when we're back doing the pod after I'm back from Spain, we're talking about the Raptors and their matchup against the Boston Celtics. Time for Toronto to take down a stupid Boston team.
Is there a Spanish white that I can buy tonight?
Yeah. There's
from the Parkdale LCBO.
You'll be able to find. So you'll absolutely.
Well, the area I'm going. Which one?
Rueda. The area is called Rueda. R U E D A.
R U E D A.
Yeah, go find them. Yeah, go find them.
Now, when you say that, is it just sort of like anything from there is good?
Well, that's the region, and then it depends on the grapes and the blend. But we'll have to do that another time.
Well, no, just tell me what wine to buy.
Well, just go and find a wine from that region. Give it a shot.
That's what I said. Are they all good? I want to give it a shot. I want a good wine.
Give it a shot. They're not that expensive. Give it a shot.
No, not give it a shot. Like if I said, hey, Matt, here's mm-hmm. the menu at this restaurant. Yep. What's something good? And you said to me, well, try a meat.
Okay.
Try a meat. See
fine,
if it's good.
Fine. Go get a Muga white. It's going to be bigger and more full bodied.
How do you spell that?
Muga. It's easy.
How is it you can't say Daenerys after 8 seasons, but you can say Muga and Rueda?
Yeah.
And...
Goodbye, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.